Good morning. Heck, I heard a couple out there. I don't know if you guys see this as when I see it too, or hear what I hear. I hope that you do. That God is always trying to teach all of us together as a body, and that this message that He's bringing today is not just for you. It's for me as well. It's for people on Zoom and those that may hear it later on our website. And that you should, it's like Sunday school feeds the lesson for the sermon. It feeds the Wednesday night, right? It's all connected, and I hope that you're all hearing that and that the Holy Spirit is speaking to you. And that's what we're going to talk about today, is that, someone, when they bring a message from God, you look through all throughout the Old Testament, the prophets, and you look at Christ Himself, right? It was always a warning. And in the sense, right, Jesus Christ's warning was repent, right? And that is where we want to pick up. And I want to actually start real quick, and this is not, sorry, Dale, I didn't give you this verse. But this was from Wednesday night, and this is what really got me thinking. And for those of you who missed Wednesday night, well, maybe you should have been here, right? But now's the love of the brethren. You have no need for anyone to write to you, for you yourselves are taught by God to love one another, right? For indeed, you do practice it towards all the brethren who are all in all Macedonia. But we urge you, brethren, to excel still more. And when I heard that Wednesday night, right, that hit me pretty hard. That, guess what? You can always do and be better. That this is not a one and done thing in your life. That when you have a revelation from God and He teaches you and leads you to salvation and imparts His Spirit upon you, that's not the end of the story. And so many churches today stop there. Congratulations. It's almost like getting your high school diploma, right? You walk up on the stage, they hand you a piece of paper, and you're done, and you never see them again. And you never even think about them again, probably, right? Yeah, it's just this one-and-done event. But that's not the case with God. That's only the beginning. That when God imparts His will upon you, when God imparts His Spirit upon you, right? Like Lloyd said, when you receive that gift, there's an obligation. And that obligation is to excel still more. To continue to grow, to continue to mature, to continue to seek and be righteous in Almighty God. And so I'm going to start this morning in Revelation. And as, you know, we've, if you've been here on Sunday schools and Wednesday nights, you know this, that most of what's written in the New Testament after the Gospels and maybe after Acts 2, right, all the letters that Paul wrote and the letters of some of the other apostles, of John and then of James and of Peter and everybody else, and here John in Revelation, is always a warning to the church. This is your instruction manual. This is what you are to listen to. This is what you're to read. This is who you are to be taught by. Now, God imparts His wisdom to us through the Holy Spirit, to each and every one of our lives, if we're taking the time to listen. That we sit down and read God's Word and allow Him to show us in our lives. But you're also hearing it from your Sunday school teachers. You're hearing it from Lloyd or whoever's bringing a message in your life that day. And so we're going to pick up, and as, again, very familiar, probably, I know we taught this a couple of years ago in Sunday school, actually I did, in Revelation 3, verse 1. To the angel of the church in Sardis write, He who has the seven spirits of God and the seven stars says this, I know your deeds, that you have a name and that you are alive. Those are words we want to hear from God, right? That Christ, when He's writing this to the church, is telling them, I know you, right? Because it's all about, we always think it's about that we know God. No, it's about, does God know us? And that you're alive. I know your deeds. But, and right, the big buts and ifs of God. But you are dead. Wake up. Spiritually dead, these people are, right? Their salvation has occurred. God knows who they are, but they are not living that life. It is so easy for us when we've tasted the goodness of God and we've come to the saving knowledge of God who is, to get comfortable. And that sometimes we need to be reminded that, again, that's not the end of it. It's the beginning of it. And that we need to, and this is a message for me, it's a message for you, it's a message for anybody listening, it's a message to the world and those that are in the church. And I'm talking about the true church. Wake up. Do not be complacent. Do not continue in a mundane life. You are not your own. You were bought with a price. You have a spiritual service to God, right? To present yourself as a holy and living sacrifice before Almighty God. To be the righteousness of God. To be an ambassador of Christ. To be the salt of the earth. To be the light to the world. This isn't about you. It's about Him. And we all need to be reminded of that. Wake up. Know who you are, and know who He is, and know who you are before Him, and your purpose. Your purpose is to be the righteousness of God, to share the gospel, to be that light and example in those in lives around you, right? In Sunday school this morning, Terry talking about, right, Paul and being led by the Holy Spirit. Well, if you're sleeping and you're not awake, you're not going to be led by the Holy Spirit because you're not listening. We always go around proclaiming the will of God. Let this be God's will, or let that God's will, or hopefully I just want God's will to be done, right? It's easy for us to pay that lip service. But guess what? You've got to get on your knees every day and pray to Almighty God, just like Terry was saying, that in the spiritual food for thought. I need to make sure I am ready to be used by God that day. And I have got to do my part, and I've got to put myself before Almighty God and say, what is it that you have planned for me today? I'm awake. I'm listening. Lead me, O Lord. Wake up and strengthen the things that remain which were about to die. This is the warning. This is the heed, right? We struggle every day, and those who persevere to the end are saved. This is a fight every day. Persevere. Endure. Look through all out Paul's letter. He's always speaking about perseverance and endurance, right? Run the race if you're going to win. It's not good enough to just get out there and just, I'm going to jump along with everybody else. It doesn't matter if I win, right? We all get a participation trophy now. No, you do your best to fight to win. There is a daily battle in each and every day of our lives that we're going to incur. Now, we may not win the battle that day, but like Lloyd said last week, did you do what you needed to do to prepare for that battle? Now, my hope is knowing that the war is already won, right? That Christ secured that victory. But there are battles each and every day, and I need to be prepared for those battles. And I need to be awake, and I need to strengthen my core of who I am. For I have not found your deeds complete in the sight of my God. Just because you think you're doing the right thing, just because you taught Sunday school, just because you got up here and shared a message, just because you're a deacon, just because you've been here every Sunday for the last 20 years, guess what? It's not good enough. What matters is what God has put in you. That's what is good. But are you doing your part and being willing to be used by God? Are you preparing yourselves daily to be used by God? As he says here, right, I've not found your deeds complete in the sight of God. You got more to do. Each and every one of us. Reminds me of a, I had a aunt that was 90, a great aunt, it was 96 years old, and her husband had been dead for 20, 30 years, right? And so we were having a birthday party for her, and she just said, I wake up every day, and I say, God, I know I'm waking up every day because you still got something for me to do, right? To have that attitude. Now, she also said, let's just hurry up and get it done, but so I can go home. But to have that attitude each and every day, to wake up, there's more for me to do. Lord, I know you want me to do more. And again, I may not be going out and giving some great message or some witness this day, but I'm living that life of righteousness. I'm living that life that you gave me. I'm sharing my life with others around them. I'm glorifying you everywhere I go and everything I do and everything I say. So remember what you have received and heard and keep it. Do you treasure the things of God that he's given you? First of all, the life that he gave you. But do you also treasure and keep his instruction, his teaching? Do you, when you sit down and read the words, and even though they hurt sometimes, and the message that you hear hurts and it cuts you to the core, are you thankful for that? And repent, right? There it is. What are you doing about your sin, right? Lost world cannot do anything about their sin until you have been, it has been revealed, and truth has been revealed to you by God, and you've been taught by God, and you come to salvation, and you receive the Holy Spirit, then you are able to repent. But are you repenting still of the things in your life, right? This is why there is perfectness inside of you. You're living a life of being perfected. Every day, on your knees before God, the things that you struggle with, we all struggle with something. And we may struggle with different things at different points in our lives. Are you taking that to God with the right heart and the right attitude? Lord, I'm struggling. Again, all things in your time, but I don't like this. I don't want it. Help me to change it. I'm going to be patient. I'm going to count on you. Because, again, this is the whole thing. God's not going to leave you where he found you, right? The promise of God, and again, we can always count on the promises of God, is that we are his workmanship. And that in his time, as he prepares us, right, but we got to do our part to repent as well. Therefore, if you do not wake up, I will come. Now, here's the painful part we all need to hear too. Like a thief, and you will not know what hour I will come to you. God will cut you down. All right, every breath you take is in his hands. But if you continue as a child, again, this is written to the church, right? This is not written to the lost world. But if you continue to be asleep, and you do not wake up, you do not repent, you do not hear the words of God, God may choose to cut you down. Right? He has an unbelievable patience and an unbelievable love, but he does not want to see his children suffer in sin. Now, most of the world, they heard this, would think I was crazy for saying that, but sometimes God just has to remove you. And it's the righteous and the just thing to do. And we always have to trust that in those moments, that when we see that happen in someone else's life, that God did the right thing. Even if it may be painful to see somebody struggle with something to the point where they lose their life. But you have a few people in Sardis who have not soiled their garments, and they will walk with me in white, for they are worthy. He who overcomes will thus be clothed in white garments. Now, if you read these letters that he's written to the churches here in Revelation, it always says this: he who overcomes, right? This is perseverance. This is that daily walk. This is that daily struggle, that daily fight. I will not erase his name from the book of life. Right? Now, this is not saying that you're going to lose your salvation if you don't. Right? It's saying is that your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. And God knows who you are. You are Christ. And even right, Christ says, those who are mine, no one can snatch from his hand. This is the assurance that you have persevered. You have continued to endure. You've continued to fight. And I will confess his name before my Father and before his angels. Well done, my good and faithful servant. Not depart from me, I never knew you. Right. Does Christ know your name? Is your name written in the Lamb's Book of Life? He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. Then jumping over to the letter to the church in Laodicea, in verse 14. To the angel of the church in Laodicea, write, the Amen. What does Amen mean? Why do you say Amen? Yeah. It's the assurance, the truth, right? It is so be it. Let it be. It is true. It's spoken truth, right? The absolute truth, right? In this case, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God, says this. This is Jesus Christ speaking to his church. I know your deeds and that you are neither cold nor hot. I wish you were cold or hot. Don't be comfortable in who you are. Don't be so arrogant and so prideful that you think you're okay with God at any given moment in your life. God must tell you if he's okay with you. And I'm saying this for myself too. Right? I'm not blaming you. I'm blaming us all. And this is the church again, universally. That do not be comfortable. It's easy being comfortable. You know, I was thinking this morning, you know, the pews here in the church, at least we have nice comfy cushions on, right? Remember some of the churches when you were a kid, they were just plain old wooden benches. You know why they were wooden benches? So you wouldn't get comfortable. Keep you awake, right? Because if you get comfy, then you just sort of have a tendency to just lays out and just sort of go with the flow, right? Don't be comfortable in your relationship with God and Jesus Christ. Do not take for granted the things of God. And we'll see this in Hebrew. You better be very careful if you do. And the warning here is, so because you are lukewarm and neither hot nor cold, I will spit you out of my mouth. And some translations and some notes of this, it's a little bit stronger than spit, it's vomit. You are vile. It's disgusting to Christ to be lukewarm. Be hot or cold. Obviously, the goal is to be hot, to be zealous, right? Paul had a zeal. Peter had a zeal. They both had problems in their zeal, but God tempered it over time. But that doesn't mean they lost that zealousness. It was just properly focused and directed. And again, in the Sunday school, Paul just being so concerned about the things of God that he didn't care what happened to his own life. He knew he was going back to Jerusalem, and even though all these people were concerned about his physical well-being and knowing what was going to happen to him, he didn't care because he only cared about the message of God that he was bringing to the people. And he cared for the church. It's all throughout the books and the letters that he writes. He considers everything previously in his life and all the value and all he was nothing. It was refuse. But he cared about the people of the church. He was always writing letters to them out of love, even though sometimes they brought strong warnings, right? It was the proper love. That when you are hot and you are zealous, again, being tempered by God and directed by God, that's where God wants you to be. Fervent through all your life. Right? This isn't just something that you get to a point in your life where you've preached that, or you've reached that level of, I am here and I have made it. I am good with God and I am just the super Christian, right? No. This is being hot and fervent in the Holy Spirit and knowing I got more to learn. I got more to do. I'm excited about the growth of my life. I can't wait to hear from God. I can't wait to be taught by God. I can't wait to come in and worship God. Not just for an hour a week. I want to worship every God. I worship God every day and every part of the day throughout the week. I want my life to reflect and glorify God. But why cold? What happens when you're cold? Does anybody like being cold? No. When it's cold, you're going to do something about it, aren't you? All right. Those in the middle that are warm and comfy, that's the danger zone. Because I'm not going to make an effort. I don't feel like getting up. It's just, this is a nice comfy chair I'm going to sit here. When I'm cold, I'm going to get up and change the temperature in the house. I'm going to put some clothes on. I'm going to go outside where it's warm or something. I'm going to do something about it, right? At some point, it's going to get cold enough. And that's the proclamation here, is that simply, if you're cold, at least something might be done about it. When you're warm, you're too comfy to care. Don't be lukewarm. Continue on. I will spit you out of my mouth. Because you say, I am rich and have become wealthy and have need of nothing, right? That money gets you out of a lot of trouble, doesn't it? Look at all these rich and popular people. They can afford the best lawyers. They can afford the best health care. I'm not picking on this as this person individually, but I don't know if you've got, remember Magic Johnson, the basketball player. Fantastic basketball player, and he got AIDS back whenever AIDS was an absolute death sentence. He's still alive. Guess what? He put a lot of money into his health care because he had the money to do so. Money can get you out of a lot of troubles, and money can make you feel very comfortable. And that's what he's telling these people. Because you say, I am rich and have become wealthy and have need of nothing, and you do not know that you are wretched, miserable, and poor, in what matters, right? No poor in spirit, in the spirit, you don't have the spirit, and blind and naked. I advise to you, buy from me gold refined by fire, so that you may become rich, and white garments so that you may clothe yourself, and that the shame of your nakedness will not be revealed. And eye salve to anoint your eyes so that you may see. To those whom I love, I reprove and discipline. If God is not proofing you, and God is not disciplining you, then you should be very, very worried. You're lukewarm. You're not hearing from God. You've become so comfortable in your life and in your relationship that you've lost the reverence, you've lost the respect, and you've even lost the ability to hear from God. Just like when you get all friendly and buddy-buddy with somebody, you get comfortable in a relationship, right? For those of you, right, who remember when you were dating, some of you might remember more recently than others, right? How things were at first, and how, yeah, excited, and you put on you brushed your teeth like maybe twice, and then you really put the cologne on, and you put the deodorant on, you put on a good clean shirt. If you're a guy, you're probably sniffing it, make sure it didn't smell. But then as time went on, you just kind of got really relaxed. Well, just because you have a relationship with God and through Christ, you don't get to relax. You get to be comfy with God. You should, that relationship should lead you to further fear, respect, and honor Almighty God. Do not get comfortable. Expect and welcome when God proves you. When you go through those trials and tribulations in your life, and you come out the other side, and you're thankful for God for coming out through the other side, and then realizing what God's taught you, either showed you who you were, and you passed the test, or showed you where you need some work. Either way, falling on your knees to Almighty God and saying, thank you, We're saying, thank you for showing me where I need to be and what I need to work on. Let's work on it. I need your help, God. Therefore, be zealous and repent. Again, that zeal that you have, if you are hot for God, leads you to desiring repentance. If you are comfortable living with a particular sin in your life, I've got news for you. Warning. Just like we saw with the church at Sardis, God may cut you down if you're a child of God. You can't do anything to lengthen your life, as Scripture tells us, right, in Christ even told us, but you can surely do things to shorten it. And I'm not talking about just some, what we would label as one of the terrible sins, right, of like drugs or alcohol or something like that that would lead to, or even gluttony, right, that would lead to health issues. If you have such a disregard for law that you're driving 90 miles an hour, guess what? You're more likely to die in a car crash than somebody who's driving 55 miles an hour. Again, somebody driving 55 could still die in a car accident because it rains on the just and the unjust. But don't go out there tempting God. Don't go out there and pushing the limits. Again, this is that false narrative that the church teaches so many people today, that you're just because you're saved that God's protecting you. How arrogant, how foolish to expect God to do anything. Behold, I stand at the door, knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door. One of the most misused lines in all of Scripture. It's not talking about inviting Christ into your heart. This is Christ standing outside. This is a letter written to a church. Christ, who is the head of the church, and the church is his bride, is standing outside the door knocking on this church because they have become so lukewarm, so easygoing, and compromising with the rest of the world like the churches today are. How many churches are compromising? Instead of standing upon the word of God and said, thus saith the Lord, well, you know, we're showing God's love. We'll let everybody in. Again, anybody's still welcome to come in here. Right? But like Lloyd says, they're probably not going to stay when they hear it. But we don't make the seats extra comfortable. We're going to put in those recliners like they have at the movie theater, right? And you got your little cup holder here. We're not going to bring Lloyd's favorite, the chocolate fountain. Right? We're not going to do those things. Because you're coming in here to encounter God. You're not here to we're not here to compromise to bring you and fill a seat with your rear. I will come in and will dine with him and he with me. He who overcomes, again, I will grant him to sit down with me on my throne as I also overcame and sat down with my Father on his throne. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the church. And I'm going to take let's flip over to Ephesians 4 real quick. I know we used this in Sunday school, and Lloyd used it too last week, but again, everything just fits together so well from what we hear. And starting in 11, and he gave some as apostles, and some as prophets, and some as evangelists, and some as pastors and teachers for the equipping of the saints and the work of the service, right? Not to weigh too heavily on this. God brings the people together and provides what they need as long as the church is doing and being who they're supposed to be. For equipping of the saints to the work of service to the building up of the body of Christ, till all attain to the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God, a mature man to the measure of the stature which belongs to the fullness of Christ. You know what your measuring stick is? It's Jesus Christ. Do not be so arrogant, do not be so foolish, and do not be so comfortable in your relationship with God. Continue to excel to the point where your life mirrors the life of Jesus Christ. I don't know about you, but that's a pretty tall measuring stick. But you know what? God gave you the ability to be able to do so. He's filled you with his Spirit, and he's given you a new nature. It was the exact same nature that Christ was born with. The only difference is we have a bag of flesh around ours that we have to fight. That is your goal in life, to reach the maturity and to reach the fulfillment of Jesus Christ. I know I got a lot of work to do, but you know what? I'm excited about doing that work. I look forward to that day when I am finally complete and then I stand before Almighty God. And he says, well done, my good and faithful servant, to know that I will be forever. Again, can't even begin to grasp what eternity is, but be forever free from sin, to simply be free to always worship Almighty God, to walk beside Jesus Christ, to be able to look upon the face of a holy God. If that doesn't get you excited, if that does not give you a reason to get out of bed every day, does not give you the reason to come in here and worship God, please, if you do not have that fervor, you do not have that zeal, if you're not hot, please ask God why.